Good day, and welcome to the Barratt November Trading Analyst Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Thomas. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for dialing in. We're updating on trading for the 19 weeks to the 8th of November. We've made a strong start to the financial year, and we're on track to deliver further good progress over the full year. Market conditions remain strong across all regions of the country, and we recognise that this is supported by the structural undersupply of homes. We have seen a 12.5% increase in our average net private reservations per week. Forward sales are encouraging, and including joint ventures, total 2.5 billion. That's up by 20%. Operationally, the business is performing well. Input costs remain under control. Land acquisition and planning are on track, and we are helping to address the skill shortage. And importantly, the quality of the homes that we build remains high. And with the AGM this afternoon, as previously announced, we have proposed a record dividend payment of over 200 million. So let me just give you a little bit more colour on the numbers. Our sales rates have been strong. Net private reservations per week during the period increased to 0.7 compared to 0.63 last year, resulting in an overall net private reservation rate per week of 261. This is a good sales rate and is being supported by the Help to Buy scheme, attractive pricing in the mortgage market, and limited stock availability in the second-hand market. Our site openings are on track, and we're currently operating on marginally lower site numbers than last year, but that is a product of the strength of the sales rate. We continue to expect to see controlled growth in outlet numbers during the year, and we are well placed to achieve this. Our progress on rebalancing our completion profile between the first and the second half is also continuing. This smoother production profile is important for the efficiency of the business. The biggest pressure that we're facing presently is skilled labour, with some location and trade-specific issues. Last year, we employed 330 apprentices, trainees and graduates, and we've recruited a further 250 for FY16. Our material supply chain continues to perform well, and overall, we expect build costs, materials and labour combined for FY16 to increase by 3-4% in line with previous guidance. Turning to the land market, we are continuing to secure outstanding opportunities that at least meet our minimum hurdle rates. We have approved £255 million of land during the period. That's 36 sites and 5,300 plots. We continue to expect to approve 16,000 to 18,000 plots during the full year. On strategic land, we have approved options on 19 sites and 3,400 plots. We are on track to achieve our FY17 target of 20% completions from strategically sourced land. This strong underlying performance and cash generation of the business is reflected in our previously announced dividend payments that will take the proposed total FY15 payment to 250 million. This includes our first special cash payment of 100 million, and we continue to expect to return 987 million to shareholders over 3 years through our capital return program. There is no doubt that the business is performing well in a strong market, and it's been a good start to the year for us. We remain well positioned to deliver further progress and drive towards our medium-term targets of a minimum gross margin of 20% and a minimum return on capital of 25%. Thank you, and I'll now be happy to take questions.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning, David, and I'm sure Abby's there as well. Morning, Abby. Two, if I may. Can you just say a little bit about the sort of regional differences, if you're seeing any, in terms of sort of sales prices and also sort of land? And the other one I had was probably a little bit more specific on land. In terms of the deals that you're now doing, are you able to factor in the higher labour costs that you are seeing across the country, or has there been any sort of stickiness in terms of sort of feeding that into the sort of residual value model that you've got?
Okay, Clyde, good morning. In terms of regional differences, I mean, to keep it at a fairly high level, I would say that all parts of the business are seeing strong trends in terms of reservations, strong trends in terms of pricing, general consumer demand. I think the only area that we've pointed to back in September and earlier in the year where trends have not been so strong would be what we would describe as high-end London, so perhaps above £1,000 a square foot, where I think it's kind of widely documented that that market has slowed down. But I think the important thing there from our perspective is that we've seen a slowing in the rate of sale, but we've not seen any reduction in terms of pricing. We're still selling a reasonable quantity at that level. In terms of the land market, you know, we have pretty good systems, and I think one of the advantages of having good integrated systems is that we get good visibility of material and labour pricing on a fairly prompt basis. So if you imagine that a division is running 20 to 25 sites, and they will be tendering labour on a regular basis across those 20 to 25 sites. So if they see the cost of bricklayers or plumbers or electricians moving when they tender on one site, depending on the geography of their patch, they'll then look to factor that into all of their land acquisitions on a go-forward basis. We're buying land on current selling prices and current build costs, so it's clearly very important that we keep that build cost profile as current as possible.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Right. Thanks, Clyde.
We will now take our next question from Will Jones from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I think mine were mostly around the top line kind of evolution, please. Just firstly on the sales rate, you obviously hit the magical number of 0.7 year to date. Is that, have you kind of deliberately put a lid on it at that level, or would you have allowed it to go a bit higher if possible, just to understand the strategy around balancing sales rate and pricing? The second was just around the site numbers, that obviously the slight flip side of stronger sales rates with that number dipping down, but you talk about still expect to see controlled growth. Do you mean from 380 upwards, or could you still get up towards the, I think, the 399 that you're at exiting last financial year? And then I guess when we put it together in terms of the volume guidance for this year, is there any change to that, I think, 15,750 core business volume that you talked about, which I think is only about 2% growth or so? Is there any difference on that thinking at this stage in the year? Thanks.
Morning, Will. And maybe just take them in reverse order. I mean, in terms of the volume guidance, no, we're very much sticking at 15,750, and we'd said that we anticipate around about 1,000 completions through the joint venture line. I mean, I think from my perspective, what we don't want to do is to put undue pressure on the business to deliver volume when we've got a backdrop that there is a skill shortage and we clearly need to secure the right number of bricklayers and other trades. I think we're also very focused on maintaining the quality of what we're building, and again, that's another reason not to put pressure on. So at this stage, I think the 15,750 is still good guidance. 0.7 in terms of rate of sale, I mean, it's not something that we've been aiming for. I mean, I think you're right in saying that we balance volume and price on a site-by-site basis every week. We're very, very focused on reviewing sites where we haven't sold for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and making sure that we get sales through those sites. So not allowing underperforming sites to be supported by the balance of the sites. So I think that's how we're really arriving at rate of sale. And that seems about right in the market as is just now. I mean, clearly very strong market conditions. Help to buy is obviously a great product for the consumer. Strong consumer demand. And as we've touched on in the statement, there is limited availability of product in the second-hand market, so it's a great opportunity for us to sell.
Yeah.
And finally, in terms of site numbers, we said earlier in the year, fairly specifically, that we thought the average site numbers would increase by around 3%. So we're still looking at that sort of level of increase in terms of site numbers on a year-on-year basis. So last year, including joint ventures, we had average site numbers that were running at about 390, 393, and we're looking at an increase of around 3% on that level.
For the average of the year?
Correct, for the average for the year.
Got you. And just coming back to the comment you made earlier on London, obviously that was related to London high end. In terms of the rest of the city and how kind of sales rates are faring there, is that the offset to what's a slower high end? Is it still that your kind of aggregate kind of citywide performance is still good?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, at the lower end in London, which we recognise is still in absolute terms, significant prices for our customers, but that lower end of the market is very strong.
Yeah.
And I think with the higher end of the market, I mean, bear in mind that for us, it's a relatively small part of our overall portfolio. It's not a particularly big part of the London portfolio, let alone the overall portfolio. And what we are seeing is a consistent rate of sale at the higher end, but it's definitely at lower levels from what we were seeing 12 or 18 months ago. So where we had sites that were selling at maybe £1,700 a square foot, and 18 months ago we were selling two or three a week, we're now seeing sales rates that are more like one and a half a week.
Yeah.
So it's still, let's face it, it's still a pretty good backdrop if you're selling product at that rate.
Yeah. And maybe you don't have the details at hand, but if you were to put that all together for your London sales rate per site per week against this time last year, compared to the group that's up, I guess, 10 or 11%, is London still up year over year?
I have obviously got the information to hand. London is, in terms of the net private reservation rate, it is up a little year on year. And I think that's just indicative that the lower end product, i.e. below £1,000 a square foot, for example, is a big part of our sales mix.
Yeah.
So therefore, if the lower end product is going well, then we're clearly in good shape in terms of net private reservations per site per week.
Great. That's great. Thanks a lot.
That's all. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Gregor Kuglitsch from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I've got a few questions. Can you give us perhaps a little bit more detail from a build cost perspective what you've been able to contract, and I'm guessing you're running from a calendar year basis rather than a financial year basis. So I guess what you've been able to secure, perhaps bricks, blocks, roof tiles, things like that, into the next calendar year. First question. The second question is, can you just give us a sense, just to remind us, the H1, H2 balancing? I think, as far as I remember, it doesn't imply that you're perhaps going to be quite 50-50, but if you could just remind us what you're actually gunning for in terms of, I guess, against the volume guidance as it stands today. And then the final question is on the order book. Obviously, $2.5 billion is a big number in the absolute sense. Is there an issue around being able to grow that, I guess mortgage deals being limited in duration? I guess it seems like a very large number, and I'm just wondering whether at some stage that sort of naturally caps out. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. No problem. Hi, good morning, Gregor. Okay, so first of all, in terms of build costs, I mean, so overall, our guidance to June 16 is 3-4% in terms of increase. I mean, we are generally contracting forward 12 months. Not all the contracts will be on calendar year. Some of them will be on financial year, therefore it's not entirely consistent. As we said before, I mean, the 3-4% underlying that, we would expect to see higher increases in terms of labour and lower increases in terms of materials. Now, we're not going to get into specific pricing on bricks and blocks, but unquestionably, we've seen mitigation in terms of material pricing over the last 12 months. So, particularly driven by the way that energy prices have moved in the last 12 months, oil and related energy prices. So that, I think, has taken a lot of pressure off in terms of something like bricks and blocks, where there is a high energy input, whether it be for production or transportation. So material increases kind of at the lower end of that range, labour at a higher end. In terms of first half, second half split, I mean, look, the ideal, obviously, we would like to, in an ideal world, be at 50-50, but I think we recognise that there is some underlying seasonal trend. More people tend to be on the move in spring, summer than autumn, winter. So I think where we'd like to try and settle is around 45%, maybe a shade above 45% in the first half of the year, really to try and take, you know, a significant chunk of activity in the first half of the year. In terms of the forward order book, I mean, we've provided some analysis in the statement on the forward order book. So the 2.5 billion, I mean, clearly we're very happy with that position. I mean, forward order book up by 20%, you know, who wouldn't be happy? But I think when you then look at the underlying position, I think really to some extent you need to set to one side joint ventures. Because joint ventures, by definition, is a limited number of sites. It's primarily focused in London, and it just depends on the build stage and the delivery stage for those sites. So take an example, Nine Elms. We are not delivering private completions at Nine Elms yet, and therefore all reservations are going into the forward order book, and that will continue to build until we start to deliver private completions in 16. When you look at the balance of the order book, I mean, helpfully, that's round about £2 billion for the balance of the order book outside the joint ventures. We're up in pound terms by about 24%. I think you're absolutely right. The restriction there is about mortgage approvals and the extent to which mortgage approvals can be given forward 3 months or in some cases 6 months. Secondly, it's about the trade between rate of sale pricing. And we've said historically that we think round about 25% forward sold is the right sort of rate for our business. That we're not keen on the regional business being, say, 40 or 50% forward sold, and we're not keen on the regional business only being 10% forward sold. So I think 25% is the right sort of balance, and we should be in that kind of position for June 16 as we were for June 15.
Can I have one final question on the Starter Home initiative, which I think you referenced in the statement? Can you just give us a sense what it actually means for you in terms of either volumes or economics? I guess it's a trade-off between starter homes and Section 106 social, or whether you think it's a relatively small event for Barratt. Thank you.
I think that the what I'd say on staff homes is it's very early days. I mean, this is an initiative that has come out of the new government since May 15. There is clearly a lot of dialogue going on with government between the HBF and the house builders, the HBF and government, and some of the house builders, including ourselves and government. From our point of view, I think any move to build more houses and put more housing supply into the market is going to be a positive, because we're going to be very much part of that. But I think it's too early to go into, not even the detail, I think it's too early to go into the headlines at this stage. The government have put in place legislative changes in terms of the definition of affordable housing, so that we know that the intention is that starter homes will be accommodated within the definition of affordable housing. That legislation is unlikely to take effect until May, June 16. And in practice, I think it's unlikely that starter homes will be available for sale in the market until probably at best very late 16, but more likely during 17. So I mean, I think that at least gives you some indication in terms of timelines.
Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Kevin Kamak from Kinkos. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning to you, David.
Morning, Kevin.
Two, really, please. Can I just come back to the point Will was raising around outlet numbers and where you currently stand in deficit terms against where you were a year ago, and then your forward projection of average growth of 3%. I mean, I'm sure if I sat down for long enough, I could almost attempt to do the maths. But what you must have a pretty huge number of sites due to be opened in the next quarter or something to get you to that number. I suppose I'm just sort of trying to get some reassurance that, you know, that the outlet number does actually show some gain.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, fine. I mean, first of all, Kevin, just to put it in context, I mean, we're just broadly, we're looking at site numbers that are round about 400, a little bit under 400. And we've said that we think that the average site numbers will grow by about 3%. So on average, we're expecting site numbers to grow by, you know, 10 or 12. So this is not any great movement of the bar that we're expecting in terms of site numbers. Last year, from memory, we opened during the course of the year somewhere in the order of around 160 sites. So our rate of site opening per annum is clearly substantial, and we obviously have site closings as well. So yeah, last year we opened 167 sites. We closed 142. When you look at the averages and the closing number of site numbers, I mean, on an average basis, we're actually running slightly up on a year-on-year basis. We've got plenty of sites that we're going to open by Christmas. We've got plenty of sites that we're going to open in the second half of the financial year, first half of the calendar year next year. And I think that's just really reflective of the fact that we've been approving a lot of land over the last two or three years. So 2 years ago, we approved circa 21,000 plots. Last year, we approved nearly 17,000 plots. So we've got plenty of land in the pipeline in terms of site numbers. I think what has been different, I mean, if you went back and looked at the business, say, 3 years ago, I think going back 3 years ago, we would not have anticipated the kind of rates of sale that we've seen. Yeah. So a lot of the land that we were buying 3 or 4 years ago, we're getting through those sites much faster than we anticipated because of the higher rates of sale. Clearly, higher levels of profitability, higher levels of cash return. So actually moving the site numbers substantially, i.e. by 5% or 10%, that clearly has to be a longer term ambition because we need more land to move the site numbers substantially.
Okay. The other question I had was around selling prices. And I suppose what's running through my mind is when the industry keeps talking about the strength of this demand, the underlying, you've referred to it as structural shortage, you know, the shortage of product in second-hand market. And when you look at the, you know, presumably second-hand market-driven survey HPI from the various, you know, commentators, there seems to me to be an increasing imbalance between what the new build industry is saying it's achieving in price terms and what the second-hand market is saying at a time when, as you've pointed out, you know, the new build industry is in an incredibly favourable, you know, seems to be a favourable position relative to second-hand, but it doesn't appear to be, you know, emphasising that in terms of prices. And I just, well, two things really. A, is there any comment you would like to make around your own pricing and net price inflation that you might be getting? And B, do you think, tacitly or not, the industry is, in a sense, you know, more happy to capture this extra volume than it is to, you know, particularly push price?
Okay. Right. Just walk through that sort of slowly, Kevin. I mean, first of all, in terms of our experience across the 19 weeks, I mean, we've said that pricing trends are positive, but I don't think we're going to get drawn any more than that. I mean, over the last couple of years, we have at the half year and the full year given a definite view on price compared to mix. So when we get to January, we'll give a view on price compared to mix. But overall, we're seeing positive pricing trends. I agree that the trends that, let's say, typically the house builders are seeing would appear to be lower than some of the national indices. Now, it depends a bit on who you look at, because the national indices themselves are quite different, depending on whether you're looking at, for example, Halifax or whether you're looking at ONS. I think to some extent, if you look at the second-hand market as a business and a business model, I think it is a business that is currently holding for price. And therefore, what you're seeing is you're seeing limited product availability, falling transaction numbers, and the second-hand market as a business is holding for price. In terms of the house builders, we want to get the best price for our product, but that is on the basis that we need to maintain rates of sale. We're not a business that naturally would hold for price. I think there's an additional factor in that we recognize that Help to Buy is largely predicated on the basis of more housing volume. Yeah. And therefore, not providing more housing volume is probably not a great strategy. So I think all the house builders have got an implicit obligation to be putting more volume into the market. And therefore, whilst we are getting pricing improvements, we're not going to simply hold for price.
Okay. Do you think, would you go so far as to think there's a sort of simmering level of price inflation that could emerge in the next 12, 24 months?
Well, I think it depends. It depends a little bit regionally, and you know what you're comparing it to. So, as a generalisation, do I think that price inflation in the north of England could be higher than we've seen in the last 12 months? Well, yes, I think that's very possible. Do I think that in London it would be higher than we've seen? Well, possibly not. But I think there's other factors at play there. I mean, most notably that the supply demand in London is there's if you look at it by price point, I think that there is a fundamental undersupply below £1,000 a square foot, and there is probably something more like market equilibrium above £1,000 a square foot, and therefore pricing improvements above £1,000 a square foot looks unlikely. Pricing improvements below £1,000 looks likely. In the north of England, pricing improvement looks likely, full stop.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Not at all. Thank you, Kevin.
There are no further questions in the phone queue at this time. Therefore, I would like to turn the call back to Mr. Thomas.
Okay. Well, just to say thanks to everyone for dialing in, and thanks for your questions. On our next update call, just to confirm that Neil Cooper will be with me. Neil is joining us on the 23rd of November. So thanks, everyone.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.